thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
So you have your question, but we're going to just throw a wee one out to each of you first of all. Not too difficult. So Jackie, you and William, to give him his proper title, were on holidays last week. Was Willie a good boy, first of all?
Oh, yes, he was.
Oh, good, good.
Well behaved.
I thought there was a slight hesitation there, but there wasn't. So where did you go and what was the highlight of the trip? Now, don't be saying when Willie headed out in the pushbike for 2 or 3 hours so that you get a bit of peace.
I didn't know I was going to say that.
You'll have to come up with a different answer.
Yes, we had a great time. We were in County Mayo, just north of Westport, and we actually had the privilege of going to the Elam Church in Westport. I think maybe you remember Ezekiel, who came and spoke about back in the early November,
I think it was the week before we were inducted.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So we had a good time of fellowship with them, just I hope we were encouragement to them. I think the highlight maybe was Friday. We had a super beautiful day and we drove around Achill Island. The scenery in Westport is unbelievable. And just to see God's handiwork, it was unbelievable. The camera doesn't actually take a good photograph of it, really. It doesn't do it justice. It was absolutely beautiful. Yeah. But nice and relaxing and in the middle of the country.
Any good coffee shops, by the way? Like, just asking for a friend, actually.
Oh, yes, yes. You'll find those.
Great. Florence, you spent the day yesterday at the Northwest 200 with a couple of dodgy people. It was actually Esther and me, in case any of you are not sure. Did you enjoy the racing or talking to Esther the most?
Do you want me to be honest?
Yes.
I enjoyed talking to Esther the most. Well, the bikes went so fast, you couldn't see them really. They just went, they were so quick, weren't they? They went so quickly by us. It was unbelievable how fast they were. So we put the world to rights yesterday. So it was lovely.
Wesley and I kind of thought that, actually.
Yeah.
Tell me this, does Big Wes, does he always resemble a beetroot when he's out in the sun too long?
Yes, he does when he doesn't put on the sun lotion that I gave him to put, had it in his pocket, but he didn't put it on. So that's the consequence.
So there's a wee kind of moral to a story there. Yes. There's actually a wee thought or a wee devotional there, isn't there, about he had the sun cream in his backpack, but he never used it.
No, he didn't.
I see, naughty boy. Mind you, don't think I put any on myself, to be honest. Thank you. Heather, you've probably got one of the strongest Ballymoney accents that we know. Have you always lived in the toon? And have you been here from you were a wean?
Well, I lived at Fimfoy, which is just about 7 miles out of the toon. Went to school here, right enough. So, yes, more or less, I've been in this. I'm a homer.
You're a homer. You're not a blow-in like us, then.
No.
I didn't think so. Great job. Okay, over to kind of the pre-prepared questions now. I'm not so sure, guys. Do the ladies need to keep the mics a little bit maybe closer? Yeah. Clive's giving me the thumbs up, so if you can just keep the mics a wee bit closer will be great. So, Jackie, first of all, it's so lovely, I think, that we can highlight the work and the ministry of the Haven. Some of you have been to the Haven, many of you have not been, and perhaps some of you know nothing about it. So we, over the course of the next kind of half an hour or so, we want to just unravel that a little bit more. But first of all, Jackie, how did you come to know Jesus as your personal saviour?
Many years ago. I grew up in a family, there's four of us, and back in those days, you were sent to church and Sunday school and church. And if there were any other Sunday schools on, you were sent there. So Sunday for us was a very busy day. So you had Sunday school first, then church. Then we went to Salvation Army Sunday school in the afternoon, church in the evening. And if Granny came around, which we lived close to the church, she would say, right, who's come to the mission hall? So we had the mission hall as well. So we had, and just whatever other meetings, kiddies meetings that were on during the week as well. But from an early age, I really felt that pull that I needed God in my life. And the one thing that was niggling me was I didn't want to go to heaven. I beg your pardon.
Can we edit that, please? William, would you have a wee word with this lady afterwards, please? Okay, rewind.
I didn't want not to go to heaven. That was my main thing. And growing up, at I would have been at the Faith Mission Hall sometimes and would have heard about heaven and hell was very much a theme. And back then, I just didn't want to miss out. And I think when I was about the age of 9, I had a Christian Endeavour meeting in our church. That's when I was about the age of 9. I gave my heart to the Lord. And I suppose that was very simple faith back then. And there was a wee verse that we would have said, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And that was just very simply what I asked the Lord to do back all those years ago. I suppose I grew up through school. I was a very quiet person. Still am. Is that right, William?
No comment.
I wouldn't have been preaching in class to my classmates or anything like that. I just lived my life quietly. But it wasn't until years later that my sister-in-law, who married my brother, she was actually in my class at school. And she turned to me and said that she had admired me in class because of the way I lived quietly as a Christian. She was quite a wild person. I mean, who was talking about the wild? Who was Andy? About her wild youth. I wasn't really that way. But she was just saying how much she was touched by just the way I lived my life. So please, if you're quiet, just live your life. You don't have to preach because your life will, they will read your life and they will see God. And to me, that was a great encouragement just to know that even though I was quiet, my life was still impacting. And then obviously she became a Christian later on as well. But I suppose in the Christian life, it's you're growing. And that was just the starting point for me. And you grow and you learn. And you develop and you grow closer, and it has become more than not just getting saved and know you're on to heaven, but it's a relationship with God in your life day by day. It's like Mark was saying earlier, it's that faith in God and trust in him. When things get really, really tough, when they get difficult, you got to hold on to him. And that's what has brought me, it's what's brought us through in many situations. One in particular, I think, was probably the worst thing that came in our lives was losing my mum very suddenly. And that was a big, big impact upon all of us. She was only 69 and she died, just collapsed very suddenly. And that changed our whole life. My dad couldn't cope, so he came to live with us. Paula took ME in the middle of it all. And I have a brother who had an accident and was in a care facility, so I had to take on the responsibility of that. But in it all, God worked in it all, no matter how difficult, because it was overwhelming at times. But just to know that we verse used to always come to me was in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that would be what has stayed me. Do you want any more?
Lovely. No, that's great. Thank you. That's fantastic. Just picking up on the fact that you gave your heart to the Lord at 9 years of age. Esther and I were over at the Elim Leaders Summit during the week in Harrogate, and one of the speakers asked people to put their hands up if they'd come to faith at a certain age, and it was amazing how many people had come to faith young in life. Can I just ask this evening, can you put your hand up if you became a born-again Christian, you started following Jesus when you were at primary school? And anyone then from, say, secondary school right up to 18 years of age? So quite a few, really. I would have thought at least 50% of people here have come to faith before they were 18 years of age. So again, that's an encouragement to those who work with our youth, who work with Sunday school, who work with even creche, and the toddlers ministry that we're going to birth in September. Just picking up on that, it's so important really that, you know, that we do concentrate on the youth and the young people of the church and the community as well. Thank you so much, Jackie. And my just have to look at my notes here. So, Florence, can you tell us where you're from and a little bit about your upbringing, please?
Well, I'm obviously not from Ballymoney. I'm from County Fermanagh. I'm from a little place called Green Hill, which is about 3 miles from Brookborough. So I was brought up there on a farm. And in our house, there was my mum and dad and my two older sisters. And there was my grandmother was there. And my uncle, my father's brother, lived with us as well. I tell you about him because he was a really godly man who loved God, loved God's word, loved to read. He was a very quiet man, but a godly man. So there was quite a household of us. We were brought up on a farm, and my early life was a lovely life, I have to say, because my family were all Christian. My mum and dad and my granny and my Uncle William were all Christian. And so from a very early age, we were obviously taught all about the Lord and our needs to be saved. We had it was a happy home. You know, it wasn't a home where we got everything we wanted or anything like that, but we had everything we needed, and it was just a really happy home. I went to school in the little local Brookborough primary school, and that was a lovely little place. So I know so many people look back in their lives and there's so much in their childhood, but I can only look back and say we had a wonderful, happy home where Mum was a housewife, was always baking and cooking and cleaning and looking after us all. Dad worked really hard. He was a farmer. They worked hard. He was up early in the morning. But, you know, I look back and I often think of my father. He would be up maybe at 5:30, 6 in the morning. He'd go out and he'd look after the cows and all of that. And then he'd come in and he'd have his breakfast that Mum had prepared. And then my dad, every day, I would see him. He'd go upstairs, he'd go down beside his bed and he'd pray every day. And that has never, ever left me. It was such a picture of Dad. And if anything in our life, we'd say, Dad, will you pray for us? And he always prayed. And when Dad prayed, we felt safe. We knew that God heard his prayer. We just felt Dad had prayed, and so everything was going to be all right. And on a Sunday afternoon, my mum, she used to play the piano, she used to play the organ and things, and we had a piano and we had an organ, and it was one of those pedal organs, you know, the old ones. And Mum would play every Sunday afternoon, and we all gathered around, we all sang all the old hymns, and it was a lovely time. My dad and my Uncle William, they were lovely singers, and they used to sing together. They were tenors, they were beautiful singers. And I can remember that every Sunday afternoon. And then my uncle, who was on a mission to see us saved, he used to take us. We had a big old bathroom with a big hot press and one of those old baths, you know, with big curly legs. And there was a little bench in the bathroom. And he used to take us up to the bathroom, and we'd all sit on the bench. And he'd open the hot press doors, because then the room would be warm. There was no central heating in those days. And we'd sit on the bench, and he would read us Bible stories and tell us about Jesus. And that's my childhood. I just think of all the lovely times of Christmas and birthdays, and just even out on the farm. I love the farm, and I love the animals. I love the animals. I love the calves and the cows. And I spent most of my time outside on the farm with the cows and the calves, unlike my sisters who didn't really want to be out, but I did, with the cats and the dogs and all of that. It was a happy, happy time in the hay and in the silage. It was a wonderful time. I look back, I cannot think of anything that was bad about my childhood, and that's true.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Yeah. Heather, what age were you when you decided to follow Jesus, and how did it come about?
Long story.
Long story short.
No, when I was about 7 or 8, there was pilgrims come round, you know, and the houses at that time. And also I went to Sunday school and church, and thank God for Sunday school teachers, because they always made it known to us that we needed to be saved, you know. But I remember getting saved at that age, but it didn't last because Mum and Dad weren't Christians, you know, but they were God-fearing and made sure we went to church and Sunday school. And being out in the country, there wasn't just as much, you know, Sunday school and churches. You had it in the morning and then you went to Sunday school and that was sort of it for the day, you know. But anyway, life went on and I went to school, the high school, and definitely got away from God and the things of God. I always knew I needed to get back with the Lord again. But that was a no-no. And then I went, got married, and I had Gary, my oldest boy. And just after that, I sort of settled down a bit, but our marriage broke up because my husband still wanted to go to places, you know, like pubs and things. And I just had no interest. But I did start, after I got over the worst part of the marriage breakup, I did start to go out again with friends and that, you know. And there was, I'm sure some of you will remember it, but in 1984, it was January, there was a dropping well bomb in Limavady. And there was plastered over the whole papers on Monday morning. And I worked in Gallagher's at that time. And I remember as well going in to work and reading the front page of some of the Daily Mirror or something. And all in it was about this girl that lived with her mum and dad and her wee boy. And she had got blew up in the bomb. So it meant that the mum and dad was going to have to look after the wee boy. And this broke my heart. And the Lord started turning over and over to me that, you know, I need it to get saved. I needed to be sure where I was going if I, you know, anything happened. But not only that, I just loved my son and I didn't want him being brought up with mum and dad and missing out in his life. So I knew this girl in work, and she had went into discos and pubs and places like where I had frequented, and she had got saved. And she assured me, I went every break on that Monday to talk to her, and the Tuesday and the Wednesday. And she convinced me that definitely the Lord could forgive me for any of my sins. There was nothing that I had done that the blood of Jesus wouldn't be enough for. And yes, on the Wednesday, I wish I could say I got married, I got saved in a church like this or in a lovely home. I went into one of the toilets and got on my knees. I was desperate. And I asked the Lord to forgive me for all my sins. I repent of them, and I just ask him into my heart. And you know, from that day, I've never looked back. I just love the Lord. I love everything he's done for me. And I just pray for the day when my family will get right with God. Amen.
Lovely. Amen. Thank you so much. Jackie, why did you start up the Haven Ministry, and what's your heart behind it?
I think after COVID, the Lord sort of laid on my heart the fact that so many people had been missed out, were missing out from church because we were sheltered and locked away for so long. And I just felt on my heart that it would be lovely just to have somewhere that we could come together, not for a meeting, but just to have friendship and fellowship to share together. And I just shared it one morning with Florence and Heather. That's how the three amigos got together. And Florence then relayed this to Wesley, who spoke to the leaders, and he sent me a lovely text just to say that they would love to see something like this start up and that I had their blessing to go ahead with it. And we've been going now for, well, since September. This came about sort of about May, June of last year, this all started to come about. And we have been so blessed, the three of us. And I know those who do come have been blessed, and we have such fellowship together. And it's just about getting to know each other. Sometimes we come into church and we speak and say hello, but we don't get to know people. And this is just, it is a wee haven in the middle of the week where we can come together and just have a wee bit of fellowship and a cup of tea, always a cup of tea, a bit of toast.
Can anyone drop in, Jackie?
Yes. I know that there's quite, more the senior age bracket because they're available, but I would like to see it widening out for all ages. This is a church family, and we need to have friendship and fellowship grow together. And this is just a wonderful wee time in the middle of the week. So if you are free any Wednesday, you don't have to stay for 2 or 3 hours, drop in, have a cup of tea, chat, and just have a wee bit of fellowship with each other.
And the time?
10 o'clock. We're open. The bus arrives in sharp at 10. And we're there till about 12 o'clock.
12-ish.
12-ish, 12-ish. Yes.
And clarifying the older, you mean like anyone over 40 when you say that, don't you?
Anyone. Yes. No, please do not feel that this is a senior event. This is for the church family. This is for us, that we can get to know each other rather than just nodding to each other on a Sunday and we don't see again till the next week.
Yeah.
That's fellowship.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Florence, I know you've touched on it, just kind of your upbringing and how you were exposed to the gospel, etc. So could you tell us then how you personally met Jesus, how that came about? And if you could maybe just even tie that in or follow it on with how you met the love of your life as well. Wesley, wherever he is. I don't think he's embarrassed because his face is already red, so...
His face wasn't that red when I met him. Sorry.
Maybe it was white.
Sorry, I have to settle down. Yes. So, yes, I was exposed to the girl. I was exposed to the gospel, really, from I was born, really, to be honest. And we were obviously very churched, and with Sunday school and little gospel meetings. And we always had 10th missions on our land. And I do remember my Uncle William actually taking me by the hand. I was about five or six. And him and I, he was always on a mission, going down to the 10th mission. I was only a little thing. So I remember my dad taking us to a place called Tresna Mission Hall. I know Wesley knows it well. You know, and used to have a big, one of those big gas, old-fashioned, was it gas? A stove? Wasn't gas, what was it? What was it, coal? Stove and all of that. So I remember all of that. But many times, you know, as a little tiny child, sitting often on my father's knee, because the mission halls were so full, you couldn't get a seat. And so I used to sit on my father's knee. And many times when the gospel was preached, I realized in my own little way that I was a sinner. But I was like Jackie, it was usually hellfire. And I was so frightened that I would go to hell, that every time, every week, I asked the Lord into my heart, every single week. And I did that, but it just didn't mean what probably it should have meant. And as I got older, my sister started, I was about 14, and my sister started to go to meetings that were being held near to us. And she invited me to go along with her. And I started to go with her to these meetings at night. After church, we went to the meetings. And there was something really that drew me in, really drew me in. And I remember this particular night, and as the message was preached, and it was definitely about hell and about, you know, about not going to hell and you need to be saved and ask the Lord into your heart, I was so convicted, like so convicted and so frightened. I was so terrified that if I would die tonight, I wouldn't go to heaven. And I remember at the end of the meeting, there was an appeal and I didn't put my hand up. I was sort of nervous and scared, so I didn't do anything. But I remember going home in the car that night after the meeting and thinking, oh my goodness, if we had an accident tonight and I died, I'm going to hell. I don't think I'm right. So we went home and my sister and I shared a bedroom together. And I remember saying to her, you know, I'm really scared. I don't think I'm right with God. And she said, well, she said, you know, I felt like that too. She said, but a number of weeks ago, she said, I've asked the Lord Jesus into my heart. And she said, then I know I'm ready for heaven. So she said to me, you need to do that. And I remember getting out of bed and getting down beside my bed. And just like Jackie, I don't even know what I prayed. I said, Lord, forgive me. Please forgive me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And I remember praying that. And what I do remember is the peace that I had was just unbelievable. It was like from the fear to the peace that I had. But, you know, we have been talking quite a bit in the home group sometimes about, you know, that a fear of hell. A lot of people do get saved because they're frightened of hell. But I have to say that is probably why I got saved. I was so scared of going to hell. But, you know, as the years have gone on, that fear has changed, because as I got to know God and Jesus more and more, that fear has changed a lot. And yes, I believe we should, you know, God is holy and all is to be, you know, looked up to and with reverence and all of that. But I love him. I've fallen in love with him. My relationship with Jesus has changed. He is my friend. We have been through so much in life, you know, so many things in life. And he's my friend. He's here tonight with me. I know he is. He's standing beside me. He's here. He's everywhere. He's with us all the time. He's my friend. He's my savior. He's my companion. He's everything to me. Everything. We have been through so much in life. You know, that was just the beginning. That was the beginning of a journey. And the journey's ongoing, and I'm certainly not perfect. I really am not. And I've let him down so often and failed him so often. But I fell in love with him. And the thing is, after I got saved, I couldn't stop telling people. I told people in school. I told people. I just wanted to tell people that I loved Jesus, that Jesus had saved me, and they needed to be saved. So that's how I got saved. We're on a journey. We've been through a lot. But I know what really, really difficult times in my life, and there have been many of them, believe me, when we lost our little baby, times I was nearly killed in accidents, times my health was really not good, and the doctor said, you need a pacemaker put into your heart. I have no pacemaker, because I said, I'm not having one. My God will heal me. And he gave me the most wonderful verse in Psalms. I will strengthen your heart. And I have taken that. And so here I am. That was in my early 40s. I'm now in my late 60s. And I still have no pacemaker, because my God can do anything. You know, and if we could just take hold of that tonight. This, we get saved and sometimes we think that's the end. That's the beginning. That's the very beginning, because we are on a journey, and that journey will take us the whole way into heaven. So, yes, God saved me, and I was terrified, but I have a different relationship with my Father now. He's my Father. He's my friend. He's the lover of my soul. He's everything. He's absolutely everything, you know, and I really mean that with all of my heart. Tonight, that's who Jesus is.
Lovely.
Amen.
Now the second love of your life. Now you can't forget about him. Briefly.
It'll be very brief.
I know that's difficult.
Yes, I always knew of the Kerr family because we were farmers all in the same area, and all the farmers knew one another. So I knew they were a Methodist family, as our family had been a Methodist. So people knew each other, you know. But I didn't especially know Wesley. I probably knew his sisters actually better. And then my sister married his cousin. So we actually met at their wedding. I was the bridesmaid. He was the best man. Yeah, and then some months after that, we got to know each other, and because I used to go and visit her and he would visit, and then he eventually asked me out, and then a few years later we got married, and here we are 44 years later. So it's been a journey too, hasn't it?
Excellent.
So that's lovely. Really.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Heather, what is it about the Haven Ministry that you love most?
Oh, Paul, you don't need to ask me that.
I have an idea.
The chat and the fellowship. It's just lovely, you know, to see people coming in and getting a wee chat and getting to know them a wee bit better. And, you know, my grandson sometimes comes in whenever he's not in school, and he just loves it too, and loves the attention he gets. Yes.
Yeah. This is Zach, by the
way.
So
there's no age group. Uh-huh. From whatever age can make it, as Jackie said earlier, you know. Yeah. But no, and everybody there is lovely, and it's great for us sometimes. We're standing there in the kitchen, and we hear the chats and the laughs and everything. And it's just great to see God's people, just like a family, you know, enjoying themselves, you know. So
it's a safe space. That's what I get from it. It's a safe space where you can come, you can meet people, you can have a cup of tea, you can have a wee chat, and I'm sure there are many times where you get opportunities just to pray with people as well, perhaps
there's
as individuals, and that's always kept confidential as well, I'm sure, as needs to be. Yeah, that's lovely. Thank you so much. Okay, Jackie, I think this is our kind of last round of questions, unless they're going to throw some curveball into it, I'm not quite sure. So, Jackie, what do you see as the future of the Haven? Have you got has the Lord kind of laid anything on your heart specifically about it, or could you maybe just unwrap that a little bit, please?
Yeah, I suppose we've touched on it a couple of points. We all would agree that yes, we would like to see a wider age bracket coming through the doors. I know that a lot of people work in that, but it is a family thing, and we just want to see and get to know more people, and just have that wee bit more fellowship with people.
Yes.
That would be my first point. And the second we've touched on is to be able to pray with people a little bit more, just if, you know, because we get to know people, you know, obviously we hope they feel comfortable with us. And we do offer that opportunity if anybody wants prayer, that we can come into the church sanctuary here and just pray with them. And that is obviously, as you say, confidential. And we just love to see that grow. Mm-hmm. But as Heather pointed out, we were in the kitchen one night, when we listened to the buzz and the chat and the laugh, that was what I had in my heart. That's what was my vision, just to see people having fellowship and growing together. And I just want to see that continue. And just wherever God would take us.
Wherever God would lead you. Yeah. I'm going to throw this out to you. I mean, do you ever see at some stage the possibility of it maybe being more than just one morning a week or one time in the week? No, I'm putting you in the spot there, and I'm not asking you to, you know, sign anything at the moment or commit to it. But
possibly. I think probably we need a bigger team on board. But we're open to possibilities, absolutely.
And that team could include men, of course, couldn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Can't leave the men out, sure we can't.
No.
Definitely not. Lovely, thank you. Anything else you want to say about that?
No.
Okay, thank you. So, Florence, why are you involved in the Haven ministry? I think we've a fair wee idea, but
yeah
what's your heart as well?
Pretty similar, really. When Jackie mentioned to me, I thought that's really a wonderful idea, I have to be honest, because we just come out of COVID and I think people were lonely. They weren't socializing, they weren't talking, they're almost afraid to shake hands or give each other a hug. So it wasn't a really good place, to be honest. So when Jackie said it, I thought, that's a God idea. That's not just a Jackie idea, I have to say. So, you know, as we talked about it more and more, and I just thought, that's something I could do. Because about a year ago, probably, I'd said to the Lord, I'm redundant. I don't feel I have anything. You know, I had retired from work, and I'd worked most of my life hard. And suddenly, you have no job. You're redundant, you feel redundant, and then I felt I want to do things for God, I don't know what to do, and all of that. And suddenly there was something I thought, I can do that too, you know. And so obviously I said to Jackie, I'll help you, I can help you a little bit. And so that's what I have been doing, and it is a really special little place. a place where a lot of laughter, Bertha and Rosie not to be mentioned, but and Sybil and so forth. It's a place of real laughter, a place of chat, a place of friendship, a place we get to know one another much better than we've ever done before. You know, and real, just lovely, lovely. And yes, as Jackie said, we have prayed for people. We'd love to pray more for people because there are so many needs in people's lives and their families, you know, in their homes, all sorts of things. And we would love to be able to just pray more for people, spend more time with people. So that is available and that is there if people just ask us. But, you know, I've made two very special friends and they're sitting right beside me. And I can say they are very, very special ladies. And I mean that. I mean that with all my heart. I do. They've got a depth to them that's really special. They're godly and have got a real depth to them. They're very special. And that has come through the haven and just getting to know them and really grown to love them. So I just wanted to say that.
Lovely.
To you.
I'm sure they could echo that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Heather, I think we're rounding off with this. So not so much just to do with the haven, perhaps, but what is God saying to you in this season of your life?
Well, I've been just thinking about this, and the scripture that I first got whenever I got saved was trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And that's probably the scripture I started with 39 years ago, and I would say that's the scripture tonight. God is, I thought I did trust him, but every time something crops up in my life, I know that I'm learning to lean on him even more. And I really do believe that God wants each and every single one of us to really trust him in these days. There is nobody else to trust. There's nobody we can depend on. But the Lord, as Florence has rightly said, he's our friend. He's never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's always there. And regardless of what the situation is, when he speaks into our heart to do something, this is where I'm being challenged. Do it. You know, you hear Mary saying, whatever the wedding feast, whatever he says, do it. I've read more times than enough over the scriptures this last while, whatever he speaks into your heart to do it. And that's where my challenge, do I trust him enough to do what he has said he will do? And I'm just learning to lean on him more and more. I just love him. I can echo the same as Florence and Jackie. He's a great God and he's just everything to each and every one of us. And he's something special for each and every single one of us. Something unique to each one. Amen.
Amen. Wow, it was not fantastic just to hear the heart behind the haven, but the heart behind the ladies behind the haven and the unity and the love that they have for each other, but the love that they have for everyone coming in is very, very evident. It's a safe space. It's a place of connection, which is really important. A place where obviously there are conversations at perhaps all different levels. Some of them are maybe superficial or whatever, and some of them then become deeper, but it's a great ministry. And we did feel it was important to try and highlight the ministry of the Haven and also to get you to know these ladies a little bit better.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.